if you can't make it, please, you know, let the secretariat in writing that you can't appoint or attend, because if you miss any meetings, of course, then they want to know a financial penalty to lenders. So we just want to highlight that. That's what we use. So I'm first going to ask the lenders to review themselves, and then we go to give an opportunity to a general lender.
Thank you, Captain General. My name is Ed. I'm really right here. I am an involved in the COVID concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman, Honorable Members. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and colleagues. I'm Lieutenant General Benigni Mthandazo, Chairman, the National Health Chief of the Order. I'm having next to me the Deputy Lieutenant General Matsatata, who is the Deputy National Health. Also having Major General Khanna, who is in charge of the commercial press at the National. You just lift your hand. Yes. And you also having Major General Monopi, who is not here today, the father passed off. I'm having but is represented by Brigadier Basi from Anti-Corruption. I'm having Major General Idwaba, who is in charge of organized crime. Also, Brigadier Mlausi, our skin doctor. And also Brigadier Reddy, doctor in finance. He is also Honorable Chair and Doctor. Brigadier Mshongo, Finance, Head of Health.
Is that family from the Honorable Member?
Yes. And what is this? I'm having also Kenneth Mabane, who is also from Finance, Head of Health. And Kenneth Matthews, Strategic Management. I'm having now the provincial head, Major General Josie from Limpopo. I'm having Major General Mbana from Northwest. Major General Kumane from Freestown. Major General Mkwena from Mpumalanga. Major General Kalawe from Northern Cape, Major General Zikar from KZN, Major General Nokuanya from Eastern Cape, Major General Koza from Western Cape, Brigadier Kavenda, who is representing the provincial head, who is starting to leave General Mkote from Gauteng. I'm having Brigadier Peter Singh, who's from also from head office, and also Kenneth Jay.
Thank you very much, General, for the introduction. Maybe just to again remind members our previous meeting that we held on the 8th of April and the issues that we've highlighted there. We raised the issue of DPCI becoming a separate budget program of the SAPS or becoming a separate budget vote, the effectiveness of the ring-fence budget for DPCI within the SAPS vote, the budget breakdown for provincial offices, the budget for submission to Treasury for additional funds, the procurement of operational equipment including an aircraft, the the staff establishment and filling of vacancies, the operational independence of the DECI, details on community awareness programs, building positive public perception of the DECI, and the low performance targets for cyber crime. Then maybe just to indicate, we also requested certain additional information. I think most of the information is only destined to be at the end of October, but if there's information that's available today, we will also welcome that. Now, the issues that we've raised also on the 19th of April is that the department should provide the committee with a plan of how it intends to fill the 700 vacancies of DPCI. The DPCI must provide the committee with a motivation and a list of how to determine its required budget and what additional funding they require for the 17-18 financial year. Then the head of the DPCI must provide a written motivation why he supports the DPCI funding as a separate vote and motivate such to Treasury. Then the department should provide the committee with a report on the training of DPCI personnel in cybercrime. And then the department should provide the committee with a progress report on the establishment of a national cybercrime centre within 6 months. So that's at the end of October that those reports must come to us. And then also, importantly, the department must provide an interim report to the committee on what steps it will put in place to locate the new narcotics and illegal firearms unit in terms of the budget, structure, and operations. I mean, we've seen the good results we had with the naval base break in at Simonstown. The suspects were apprehended very, very quickly. So it's important that we also get a breakdown of what your plans are in that regard. And then, just to remind the committee, what was our BRRR recommendations from this committee to Parliament? We said that the committee recommends that the department should commence discussions with the National Treasury with a view to establish the DPCI program as a separate vote to give effect to the committee's recommendation. So we will need some progress report on that today. And then the committee recommends that the department motivates for an additional funding for the 2017-18 financial year, whether we support it or not. Remember, honourable members, the budget of DPCI comes separately to Parliament to consider. And then the committee recommends that the DPCI fills its outstanding 700 vacancies. So that was in broad the framework of our discussion that we had in April. So today is really a follow-up and all other issues that we want to raise as members of Parliament. So I'm going to give over to General Ameza to take us through the briefing. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. Our presentation today will be covering the filling of 700 posts and also successes by the DPCI, and also will be dealing with the issue of the list of certain budget and additional funding. The introduction. The purpose of this presentation is to brief the portfolio committee on police of the process on filling of vacancies and also to update on high profile operation by the HOC and also the budget structure and the slash new unit that is Narcotic and the firearm unit. Filling of the 700 vacant posts, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the filling of vacant posts is a project that started in 2015 and is still ongoing. The DPCI is working with the organizational development to identify and prioritize the vacancies that must be advertised. In the 2016-2017 financial year, 155 posts have been filled in the first quarter. 10 posts were withdrawn and 545 are outstanding. Out of 545 posts remaining, 95 posts were advertised, interviews took place, and appointments announced on the 10th of August and are presently being processed on the system during this second quarter as our plan. On the 450 remaining posts, 70 are currently advertised to be filled during the 2016-2017 financial year. Now we're left with 380 posts that are still going to be advertised and filled during this third quarter of this financial year, that is 2016-2017. DCCI successes. Honorable Chair, honorable members. Slide 7. Number of arrests. I'm starting with the organized crime. Number of arrests is 1,164. Conviction and these arrests are from the 1st of April up to date. Conviction is 213 convictions in one high profile serial rape and violent crime case. 7 targets were sentenced to a total of 271 years in prison and 6 life sentences. Coming to the issues of clandestine laboratories, it's 19 labs were dismantled. In one of those labs, our member, a warrant officer from Johannesburg, was also arrested. Was living in a house, and in the house, it was a station with machine. He was found being producing drugs. Even in that laboratory, on that same day, when the members arrived, they were busy at work producing drugs. Drugs is a serious matter in this country. And the estimated value of those drugs is 242 million. Seizures, drugs, mental, the value there is 220 million. And Avalon is 57 million. Coming now to the issues of firearms. And I want just to state that these firearms were recovered mostly by this newly interim formulated unit based on the announcement by the President during the opening of Parliament. The number of firearms recovered is 497. 207 pistols, 94 rifles, 37 revolvers, and 59 shotguns. And ammunition is 21,000. Precious metals and diamonds, the value is 17 million. Slide 8, we can pass. Coming now to slide 9. Drugs, high level criminal groups. Western Cape was investigated a criminal group involved in drugs and other organized crime activities, which were arrest of 2 suspects and seizure of 500,000 SS tablets at Cape Town International. This criminal group was involved in a drug distribution interprovincial and transnational. Another bullet, another syndicate operating around Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Gauteng province, responsible for the manufacturing and bulk distribution by means of bulk transportation of mandarin and teak, was dismantled, and 5 targets were arrested. And 1 million mandarin tablets with an estimated value of 25 million. And a vehicle was also seized. Another bullet, a syndicate responsible for cannabis trafficking from Swaziland to the northwest province was identified as investigator during the takedown operation. 17 heads of cannabis valued at 2 million, platinum value at 45,000 and 30,000 in cash was seized. Endangered species, illegal abalone poaching, 13 suspects were arrested around the Overberg region, Western Cape, during a disruptive operation, and 1 million abalone were discovered and a concealed compartment of a trailer valued at 57 million. Tourism-related crimes, as you are aware that recently in Johannesburg, two twins for ISIS were arrested, Honorable Chair. And when I'm talking, they are still in jail. Bail was objected. This is the first case in South Africa where South African citizens are associated with the ISIS. But the case is going very well in court. For murder and rape, two suspects were arrested in connection with the gruesome murder and rape of an 8-year-old female at her farm holding in Longwood, Amanz Estate in Eshin. Both accused were denied bail and will appear in court on the 30th of this month, 2016. Coming now to Syrian commercial branch that is led by Major General Kana. Number of arrests, 507 persons, and those are South African. And 74 are coming from other international countries. Conviction is still seven. Major investigation is just a narrative, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Between 2011 and 2012, two accused alleged transferred an amount of totaling 5 million to an overseas account held in Taiwan. The accused were unemployed and did not have reasonable grounds to explain the source of the funds. On the 6th of May 2016, that is this year, both accused were found guilty and sentenced to 20,000 fines. On the 16th of May 2016, three males were arrested in connection with a pyramid scheme. The potential loss suffered by the victim is a tune of 30 million by the victim nation. A 41-year-old man from Skilby appeared in court in connection with the submitting fraudulent VAT claims to SARS to the value of 30 million. On the 25th of November 2015, cooperative government and the traditional cost became aware that funds meant for Ingwe municipality didn't reflect in the municipality bank account. The funds were intended for the construction of a community service center. On inspection of the payment, voucher and all supporting documents, it was discovered that the bank account details were changed. The accused was an employee of the same department that approved the change of the bank account and also authorized the payment details of the 7.5 million that was paid into the account of another accused. The accused was arrested and appeared in court on 15th of June 2016 and released on the day of 10,000. Slide 15, an employee of a company was arrested in connection with an authorized transfer of 5.3 million from a company's account into her sister's bank account. The case was postponed to the 7th of September. Another bullet, during July 2009 to July 2018, an entity received funds from clients that were deemed as loans. These loans were purportedly invested on the forex market. The company would pay the clients the profit which was generated by such investment at a monthly return of between 4 to 8%. About 100 million in assets were seized and placed under the care of a curator appointed by the High Court. On 22 June 2016, the suspect was arrested and appeared in court. He was granted bail of 100,000 and case was postponed. Two suspects issued fraudulent checks as payment to the unsuspecting clients and companies while buying livestock. The first suspect was arrested on the 25 May 2015 and was granted bail of 80,000. The second suspect was arrested on 7 of July 2015, appeared in court and was granted bail to the amount of 50,000. The amount suffered by the complainant amounts to 4.8 million. Information was received that a consignment of counterfeit goods was imported into South Africa. Samples were extracted from the suspect container and ordered to brand holders who confirmed it was counterfeit. A search warrant was obtained and a search and seizure was conducted. Sunlight packages to fill to 215,000 packets or more packaging to fill 11,000 and Dettol bottles to fill 52,200 bottles seized to the value of 41 million. A suspect forming part of a syndicate that was responsible for defrauding financial institution by applying for loans amounting to 9.5 million was arrested on the 1st of July 2016. The complainant is a medical doctor who owns a cold storage facility. The complainant's brother conspired with various people to manipulate the accounting record in order to lower the storage cost for these farmers, as a result defrauding the company of the revenue end. The company suffered a loss of 5 million. The brother was arrested and pleaded guilty immediately and was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment, all suspended. The five farmers appeared in court and have been released on warning and will reappear again on 19 September 2016. The accused was charged for racketeering, money laundering, fraud, and reckless trading between 2006 and 2008 by submitting 250 million in fraudulent VAT returns together with fictitious invoices to the South African Revenue Services in Cape Town. The accused was arrested and on the 22 July 2016, convicted and sentenced to 20 years imprisonment on all charges. Coming now to serious corruption. I want just to say for anti-corruption is not only dealing with the public, Honorable Chair, is also dealing within, that is within the police, traffic, and also within the judiciary itself. For example, a short term, that is from April up to date, 58 arrests nationally. But amazingly, in Gauteng, from SARS is 37 arrests. Gauteng only is 37 arrests. And four from those arrests, two is from National Office GDCI. And also one GDCI KZN. and one Northwest DBCI. So I want us to say DBCI is also gaining within itself. Arrest for anti-corruption is 237 and conviction is 43. Major investigation. Serious corruption investigation conducted. A takedown operation under the name Project Cap at Bay Bridge and the Messina area in Limpopo. 50 accused were arrested for fraud and corruption, of which 6 are from the JCPS cluster. 4 is a teacher. 1 is a teacher. And 1 is an advocate. And 1 is a counselor. And 1 is a business person. And 1 is a former staff admin clerk. The accused demanded and received payment on different dates for conducting illegal transactions relating to the contravention of the Immigration Act. All 15 accused appeared in court, of which 1 pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 3 years imprisonment without a fine. What is happening? These people in their places of residence were having stamps and the documentation. They can just give a person a permit. Serious corruption investigation arrested a Chinese national for corruption. This Chinese bribed an official from the South African Reserve Bank to have an amount of $27 million released from the blocking order, as it was suspected that she contravened the exchange control regulation. This suspect offered a $5 million bribe to a South African Reserve Bank official in order to release money blocked account. This official reported the matter to the Hawk, and the sting operation was formulated, and she was arrested. She was found guilty and sentenced to 11 years. That is last month. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, now I'm coming to the issues where a request by this Honorable Committee was made about the additional funding in regard to the issue of the opening of the 2 units and also the issue of the helicopter, Honorable Chair. This information was submitted, but I'm going to just to elaborate on it for the sake of the committee members. Salary for drug and firearm unit will be 40 million. And above that, I get the compensation of employees, that is 42 million. And then now, in regard to the requested helicopter, it will be having 2 chief helicopter pilots. And the salary will be 1.4 million. Other allowances, that is for the units and for the issue of the helicopter operation, it will be 736,000. And goods and services for the same unit, and also the issue of the helicopter. Good and services is 55 million. And fuel and oil, 46 million. Service and repair, it will be 8 million. Construction of the landing phase, 1 million, is 1 million. Transfer and subsidy, 350,000. Licensing of the helicopter required or being requested, it will be 100,000. Licensing of the vehicle, 250,000. That is for the unit. Capital assets, 135 billion. Honorable Chair, honorable members, if you remember last time, I spoke about the jet and the helicopter. But now, the issue now that is very serious now is for operation. Hence, we came up now with the issue of a helicopter. And the value for this helicopter is 100 million. It's a coach that was obtained from the people who know more about this. But I want just to say, but it's up to this honorable committee, honorable chair, and honorable members, while discussions are going to unfold this morning. As both, we are praying that we get this helicopter being bought if money can be available. On the other hand, the horse is suffering when it's conducting this sensitive operation. If the committee allows another option presently, because to buy the helicopter maybe is going to take at least time. We are left now with 6 months. If we can get a lease helicopter presently, I think the goal for the hope can be achieved. Because presently, really, the hope is suffering. And I want just to put it again, that if you check in the Kruger Park, honorable chair, honorable members, there is a helicopter in the Kruger Park. And in addition to that, there's also private helicopters that are coming from places like Mozambique and the other places. Because when you deal with this rhino horn, it's not a nice operation because its distance and it's involving forest and a big space, and you need to arrest now. Not to say you're going to make a requisition to get a helicopter somewhere or to hire a helicopter. For example, if I can just, from April, when the delegation was here, before this honorable house, arrest is 12 for rhino horns, and 145 rhino horns were seized. It's proving that really there is a need for this helicopter. No matter it's being bought or is being leased, we appreciate for the benefit of dealing with this sensitive operation. Just imagine the horse is like FBI. Actually, it is equal to FBI. FBI, Honorable Jay, has got jets, he has got helicopters, not only one. Because what if one helicopter is being grounded? So this is my full motivation to this Honorable Committee that was given a guidance here. It's a serious this issue of the helicopter. We're only asking one. Even that one is not enough, because if it's not there, They are operating in the divisory where we need you to come from the sky and come straight. And they are operating in the divisory that are internationally. For example, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Botswana, where you need not to get to the officially place. Because if you're going to take that route, the whole operation will be compromised. As I said, this helicopter, they say the amount is 100 million. And the resources for new units and pilots, furniture, vehicles, IT, software, and licensing is 35 million. The total, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, as I was directed by this committee, is 232 million. And this amount is not included in the budget we are having, 1.4 billion. Is a separate, and I want just to say, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, this is a once-off. If the committee can assist and the treasury of NDS is once-off, it's not going to carry on, it's once-off this issue of the helicopter. Page 25, that one is that budget. It's just summarizing, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, what I have just alluded, because it is about the expenditure regarding this, what I have just said, and how we'll be dealing with the budget, etc., and the expenditure. Thanks so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for giving me this opportunity to allude to the need, and also to report to the three issues that we invited for.
Thank you very much, General, for the presentation. Honourable Members, we will go to questions. The first two from my side, and then I'll go to Honourable Batson down the line. The first one is, we saw, unfortunately, during the run-up to the elections, a number of councillors killed in KZN. We also had, just after the election, a councillor killed in the Northern Cape. Can we maybe, we're going to discuss it tomorrow with the National Commissioner, the processes and approaches, but maybe if the DPCI is involved in those arrests, can we just maybe get an update on where we are today in terms of how many people were arrested as they appeared in court and the number of cases registered? Then the second issue relates to your staffing establishment. I just want to know, you've got then about 350 posts that you must still fill. Towards in the next few months until the end of the year. Now, if you look at the rate that you have been filling the post, aren't you a bit ambitious? If you take into account the panels, the advertising, the vetting, I just want to get a timeline. You know, what is your planning at the end of this third quarter? At what level are these posts? Because, for instance, if it's SMS group or mid-management, of course it means there are certain requirements, certain vetting that must take place. It takes time. Will you be able to fill that post, those 700 you indicated in April? I just want to get an assurance on that.
Okay, Chief,
my
director for facilities are all your members vetted as chicken. The top management. My next one is, we see you talk of all the successes of your arrest, especially the serious crimes, but is it yielding the correct conditions? I verified that the two match, the arrest and that are the conditions. Like with only top serious corruption arrest is 237 and the condition is 43. I think right that the two are matching. And tell us about the steps that you have put in place so far in the new specialized unit, the narcotic and the illegal firearms unit, and their budget. And then my last one, tell us about the training of DPCI personnel in cybercrime. That's my favorite one. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, General, for your presentation. My first question, General, will you please provide details on the reasons for the withdrawal of 10 posts that you advertised? In your successes, will you please tell us how many corrupt police are arrested? Third question, in slide 13, you said 507 persons were arrested and 307 convicted. What about the 200 persons? Are there cases still in court or what? My last question, in slide 24, in your budget, these salaries of narcotic and two chief helicopters, in narcotics is 40 million, in chief helicopters is 1.4 million. Are these salaries calculated per annum or per month? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mula. Honorable Bailey.
For a month, I want to apply. Thank you, Chief. Just to be clear, we will allow any questions.
Yeah, please, fine. Yes.
Another one. My first question just relates to the items that have been seized by the GPCI in operations, as you reported. Specifically to ask, what happens firstly to the items like narcotics and firearms, and specifically in terms of what are the measures that are in place to prevent those leaking back into criminal hands, so just kind of the containment and whether they destroy it, whatever the process is, and what the measures are to ensure compliance with that. And then linked to that, a question about what happens to the cash and the resellable assets that are seized, because there's something I've always been curious about, which I believe in, which is that when cash and assets are seized from criminal syndicates, and it's possible within the legal framework to auction or whatever the case might be, then those funds can get ring-fenced and put back into the work of the hawks. So in a sense, you have the syndicates funding further work, you know, of the police to catch the next wave of criminal work. And then my third question, Chair, is just in relation to the helicopter. We heard the very compelling appeal from General, not having insights on the operational motivation, I am curious just to get clarity. The figure of 100 million sounds very scary when I first hear it. But I just wanted to ask if the General and his team could give a little more detail around what the maybe operational requirements behind that are. And specifically, I wanted to check if is that figure more of an exchange rate issue? So if you're procuring from an international arms company and they're pricing in dollars, I understand how that can seem like a big figure on our side. Or is that more about a very sort of technical, expensive requirements that's coming through?
Thank you, Honorable Bailey. Honorable Mabija, you covered.
Yes, you can get it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, thanks, Chair. No, Chairperson, my only area will be with regard to your experience in general, with regard to Grant's question. One being, have you ever experienced maybe in the groups that you have dealt with criminals of repeat same indulgence in these fiscal department. The reason why I'm raising this is one, you will pardon me, Chairperson, because our country seems to be just a free for all because of many laxities. I'm looking at our constitution, which even guarantees rights to criminals, as I saw with this guy, Kaja, and all, despite of him running terrorism in our country, even threatening our own judiciary personnel. But we seem to be too user-friendly when it comes to these things. And which then problem, my problem would be, state apparatus that are assigned to deal with these organs will find it very, 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 very difficult or extremely impossible, because we seem to be just a crime destination for criminal gangs, organized gangs throughout. You can't go and do this thing in China. In China, they'll just kill you. The state will just take your life. Full stop. In South Africa, they're going to be given a number of rights. Yes, they're threatening the society with these things. Now, how do you, have you found out, have you actually come across repeat criminal gangs? And if so, what kind of an advice, if any, you would give to other sister departments in terms of them tightening or putting themselves up to that particular level? Because you only come at the level of investigation. But these things, as you investigate, other things are also following from your fact with the same kind of activity. That was my point. On this question, Chairperson, of the operational requirements with regard to jets and other things, I don't really think that we will need to frustrate the division of ops. I think it will be advisable to actually then come up with a mechanism to get these facilities sorted in, so that we can actually then professionalize this particular wing, which I think it has got a duty which is more or less beyond its reach due to various factors that our country is in. Really, 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 I must be very, very honest with you, Chairperson. I personally, I was even shocked to see that how can civilians enter a military base like the naval base and take weapons of mass destruction, like self-propelling rockets and all that? I just said, my goodness, maybe God is just coming tomorrow. I don't understand, really. Because that thing actually could just set fire in the country. One guy, just at the trigger of one button. Now, really, those are the things which one cannot put in the hands of the host. It's just laxity within that particular department, which ought to be ensuring maximum discipline and total control of our own main naval base here in Cape Town. Really, I just raise my case. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Shlongo. Honourable Markey, you're next.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question on slide number 14. I see here those found guilty in the sentence 20,000 fine or 5 years, wholly suspended 5 years. I get a bit confused because according to me, the officers are supposed to be dealing with high sort of, you say crime could be high-profile crime or so. And if a person convicted will get a whole suspended sentence, my problem would be, is it because the investigation was not good enough for the conviction, or is it because this type of crime doesn't belong to that level of the office?
Thank you, Honorable Martin. Honorable Krugel.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to link up with the Honorable Member on the helicopter. like to know what type of helicopter are we talking about? Because for this flight, it seems like an attack helicopter. I don't know what you want to wipe the people of the earth, but the flight doesn't make sense, so we get more detailed information on that. The other one, Chairperson, is, Chairperson, I find 9 million short on the budget given to us. If you look, for instance, on your compensation of employees, it says 42,148,000, but if you add up the salaries and the allowances and everything, it is actually 42,484,000. On the goods and services, you're talking about 55 million, but if you add up the fuel, the service and construction, you only get 46,009,000. So there's about 9 million short there. Can I just get clarity on that? Then, Jefferson, I want to ask the general, I hear about the rest and all that sort of thing. Can we get a figure of about what is the completion rate of the halt at this moment? Say annually for the last year or the previous annual term. I very much like to hear just what is that condition rate, and I understand some of the cases are taking along and all that sort of thing. I have some other questions while I come to the second round. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Honourable.
So that is the question for the first round. General, over to yourself and your team for responses. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. The first issue is the people killed in KZN and also in the Northern Cape, exactly during the time of election. That one of Northern Cape, suspect has been arrested, and now is in custody. And that one of KZN, two people have been arrested as well, where there was a scuffle between two entities.
So the total arrest for KZN, I just want to get an indication, because I think there was more than 15 or 16 people killed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I want now to go straight to the bigger picture. Political killings, national cases reported were 18. 18. Is 2 in the Eastern Cape, is 13 in the KZN, is 1 in Mpumalanga, and 1 in Northwest, 1 in the Northern Cape, this one. And then now the total arrest, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, is 15 now. Is 15 now. And the second question. That one, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, is 380 posts that now are going to be advertised. And now we said last time we're going to deal with this post in terms of the quota. coming to the question, these are not the higher level posts. All the DPI, DPCI posts at higher level, that is a major general, brigadiers, for major general, I think only two that are left. They are not yet even included in this one. And for brigadiers, I think it's only one. I understand, Honorable Chair, the period that is supposed to change. But I promise that this Honorable House that we are ending the year March next year. By that time, this 300, because these are the small posts, not the bigger ones. Yes, they need the same process, because you must advertise, you give that required period, and to allow the people to apply. After that, you start the process until the announcement. What I can say, the hope will be achieving the goal.
Yeah, it seems we're on the DPCI building in Belleville.
Yeah.
we'll come to that question. Can we maybe get some air? Thanks, Mr. Lobby.
Coming to the question by the Honorable Murabasi, whether the members now in the DPCI have been vetted. What I did after our appearance in this before this honorable committee, I took the whole list of the members of the DPCI and I handed over to our counterpart of the state security to assist. Because from our side, let me say, on the side of some intelligence within us, is taking a long time. So I got a feedback. I think now what is going to happen now, they're going to be called individuals so that they can appear to finalize it. It is a process that I cannot put my neck on the floor for this one. Because, as you are aware, it's a lot of time that has been taken to do the checking, to do everything. But I'm so happy because I'm on track. And coming now to the provincial heads, that is the general and brigadier, some of them now are being called now for photographing checking now. So I think we are at least moving.
Just a follow-up on that issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to ask General the Mayor, if you are the people are applying, when you do the appointment, you don't vet them, you just appoint them without voting. Thank you.
Regarding the issue of appointment, it's a different issue. When somebody is going to be appointed, there are the so-called checking. You check for the clearance from the external record center, and you check for the record, for his or her record from the external record center, and the external record center will give certificate to say this person is clean. There's no problem. And if it's a higher post, automatically that person will sign that 204 immediately and is processed. We cannot appoint the person without having checked. Hence, there's this requirement of a long time before you appoint the person. The question is that is arrest versus conviction for corruption cases.
about this conviction regarding the what you call the corruption. We are dealing with complex cases that take time. But at the end, when a case is brought before the court, automatically the case moves well because already all what was needed in the investigation is done. The steps in place for the establishment of these two units. The president announced this year that these two units must be established. Immediately, we took a decision within the hall that we cannot wait for the study, the work study, to be completed. We started by putting interim structures in all the provinces, including national. These results that I was reading are from the fruit of those temporal structures. So, in principle, honorable member, we are waiting for the work study to be completed. Hence, we put the issues of budget so that perhaps before the beginning or the end of the financial year, those two units must be in full operation, no matter in a scarcity. That one was Honorable Chair. Can you quickly elaborate on the training your people attended after we presented ourselves during April? What happened after that? Okay.
Just a microphone, if you can just maybe swap with one of your colleagues.
Yes.
We just need to
come nearer to the mic.
On record.
Mm-hmm. After my appointment, I get the workforce that is working with Brigadier Peter. And therefore, we took a decision now to say, because this issue of the cybercrime is becoming a danger for the country, because the people's bank accounts are being hacked. We are having now, I think, cases that are before court, where people's private things were hacked. So what we look when we're going, Honorable Chair, going to send members for training, we check the skills those members are having. We don't just take a person, we check what the person is having in terms of science, whatever.
Thank you.
How many police officers were arrested within this period? As I indicated, it's 58 nations. And as I said, 37 is within Gauteng itself. And the 4 is from the GPCI itself, from national and at provincial level. And when I'm talking those members in the GPCI, they've been suspended and their case is before court.
General, maybe just a follow up on the same issue from my side. I think a couple of years ago we received a briefing on the establishment and the functioning of integrity unit within DPCI. Is it still up and running and the number of staff members, and is it effective if you take into consideration the 4 bad apples you have or discovered in the basket?
Honorable Chair, we appointed a brigadier. Brigadier Manager is in charge of that unit. It is very effective. We are getting results because they are moving province to province, national, all the offices of the division. For example, they'll just come around about 3:45 and quickly stop there with that truck and test the members for drugs and for liquor and other things. If a member is suspected, for example, will be taken for program test to answer some questions. So it's working. It's helping. Because everyone is attending. Every year, members of the GPC must buy it. Number 9, salaries of unit. Are they done accordingly? I'll give to Dr. Reddy.
Thank you, Dr. Reddy. Can you hear?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. In terms of the salaries, it's calculated on an annual basis. The annual package, in terms of the staff complements, we looked at the different numbers per rank level, and we look at the cost of company that's how we did the calculation. So it's not a monthly. So the 1.4 million, just as an example, in terms of the chief helicopter pilots, it's at the level of the colonel, which an annual salary package of 700,000 is what goes for per pilot. That's how we got it.
Marginal? Sorry, there's a follow-up from Honorable Bailey on that issue.
Can I ask a follow-up while Dr. Reedy is in his seat and we'll see if he can come back in the next round? I was just curious to know what is the post establishment taking into account those different ranks with different salary packages, which is covered by that by the 14 million odd just above in terms of just looking at the how many courts they're covering?
Thank you, Honorable Bailey, Dr. Reddy.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. In terms of the 40 million that's allocated for salaries psychotics and firearm unit, we have a breakdown of 10 senior managers. That's the level of brigadier. 10 middle managers, the MMS level of colonel, 20 lieutenant colonels, 20 captains, 20 warrant officers, and 40 administrative personnel. So that roughly constitutes 120 personnel within the specific unit, and our calculations were based on that breakdown.
Thank you very much. Okay. What happens to cash and positions since by the hawk?
That one, once the money is found or recovered by the hawk, honorable chair, honorable members, automatically we don't keep that money within us. It's taken to the government pocket. And there was also, I think it's honorable Ben, spoke about the speculation of that money coming again to help. Or the question from the honorable was that why that money is not assisting the horse. For example, I think it's an assistant in the helicopter. Yes. There's this color money that is directed to the Department of Justice. I think there are some moves, but they are too slow, those moves, to make use of this money. Because as Hulk and staff and other law enforcement agents who are making a lot of money, the money that can help, but it's difficult to get 100% the current money. What happens to the firearms and what measures are put in place to make sure those firearms are not circulating? I think the question is surrounding that. If there's a big thing like that one of the military base, and we recover the firearm, or it's a big operation, we arrest the people and we recover the firearm. What is happening? Those firearms, honorable members, they are wrapped nicely and taken for ballistic testing. And if there's a need, they will be taken for as an identity before the court. And after everything has been finished, there are systems that are put in place on the side of staff. And there are some compliance that needs to be complied with. So they don't come to us again. Including the drug, the issue, honorable Ben, the issue of drugs. We don't keep drugs in the GPCI. Once drugs we get with them, like those who are getting from these big places, they go to the lab and they are being tested if really these are the drugs, and the answer will say these are the drugs, and another system will take over. Normally they are not needed in court automatically, only the pictures that are needed. 12, give more information on the operation for the helicopter and planning on the figure. I think the honorable Obama said there's money that is not appearing. Dr. Reddy will help us. Dr. Reddy, can you give a clarity?
Thank you again. In terms of the determined budget of the additional funding that we require, as indicated on the screen, if you look at the first category of expenditure of compensation of employees, it's broken down under three specific items. One is salaries, which amounts to 40 million. The salaries of the helicopter pilot is 1.4 million, and the other allowance is 776,000. If you add it up, it comes to 42 million. I think it's not clearly identified in terms of the, I think it was that we make no
could be misleading as we move down to goods and services, for example. Fuel and oil was 46 million. The service and repairs is 8. The 8 actually represents 8 million. And the construction of the landing space, 1 million. I think General Kamezal in his presentation just give us the exact amount. So if you add that up, it comes to the 55 million. The transfer and subsidy, the 100,000 for licensing of the helicopter, licensing of vehicles, 250,000, which comes to 350,000. And then on the capital assets, the purchasing of the helicopter, 100 million, and then the resources for the other new unit of 35 million. That comes to 135 million. So it in fact adds up on the share to 232 million. It's actually rounded off there. So I think the 8 and the 1, actually 8 million, and the 1 is 1 million. And not as you think that they can be the two separate things. So it could be 8,000 or 1,000. It does actually add up.
Thank you, Chair. We must just present it correctly. It's not misinterpreted. The way it stands here, it says only 8,000 or 9,000.
You still want to apply for the helicopter job?
Yeah.
There's a title. There's a title.
Dr. Reggie, can you please again talk about the operational requirement exchange rate for procurement from overseas? Dr.
Thank you very much. I think the, what we did here is we have a benchmark from with the South African Police Service area. We looked at the procurement of the recent procurement of helicopters within Church. And we were being guided by the aviation industry in terms of that. And I think it was indicated that the exchange rate is playing a pivotal role in with regards to the costing. The last helicopter procured by SAPS was in the vicinity of 80 to 85 million. So we have made provision for possible inflation in the cost in that regard. It is fit, it's purpose built for the SAPS in terms of operation. And that's how we were guided in terms of the costing. But if we do have to go through the procurement process, it would be through a competitive process, and we will have to then follow that process in terms of getting a company to provide us with a firm position in that regard.
So thanks for that response.
Coming to Honourable Chair, to Honourable Songo, the repeat offender. Regarding the issue of trucks. Within the government, we are having the so-called master plan for trucks, where other departments like social development, honorable chair, are also involved. I think the only advice, because the honorable Songo asked the advice from me, the only advice is what we'll be doing in terms of the JCPS. We need to work together because HOPS is dealing at higher level. And now, kick-wise, on the street, within the township, within the malls, within the shops, they need other level. And also, when you are dealing with that level, there must be another layer, that is the social development, in terms of taking those who suffer. From those drugs to deal with those. So I agree with you. The only advice I can give, we need to work as combined in a multidisciplinary approach, not to have social development, honorable chair, having its operation. We need to work together. Honorable Mache, honorable chair, is worried about this suspended sentence. What I can say, commercial branch cases are very complex. And at times there will be this so-called plea bargaining, where the lawyer and the prosecutor, they will come to negotiation. That this person wants to plead, and he always would be getting this suspended sentence. And Honorable Chair,
somebody would contribute to say you pay back this amount. And to say you'll be undergoing two years imprisonment, just suspended for 5 years. It's happening. Coming to the question whether it's in the Hawks money, that one. It's in Hawks money because these suspended sentences, most of them, they happen to these big cases, very complex in terms of the commission. Honorable Chair, when I check the question, unless I will be corrected, I think I try to touch all of them.
Right, let's continue. Tea will only be ready at 11:30. Now we come to the more difficult questions for the second round. Now, General, it was reported on News 24 two Sundays ago about the state of the offices of the DPCI, especially I think the Bellville office, and I think there's also other offices that is not in a good state. I think the building in Bellville was declared not fit for accommodation. Can we maybe get what is the game plan from yourself and the management to address that issue? Because we must ensure from Parliament side as well that our members must work in a situation where they can fulfill their job effectively. They can't be accommodated in bad accommodation. So what are you currently doing and what is being done to source alternative accommodation? The second question from my side as well relates to maybe how the DPCI are going forward in terms of your structure and also the issue of the detectives. Now, we had this famous meeting 2 years ago in the Cape Town Hotel where the then head of DPCI and the suspended National Commissioner was also part of that meeting, where we discussed the issue about the staffing requirements required by yourselves to fulfill your task as the major crime-fighting organization in the country. Now, the decision in terms of your future staffing levels, who will stay with the detectives, who will come to the Hawks, especially in the light of the two other units, where are you currently, and when we can estimate will there be a finalization of that issue? That's the first from my side. Let's go to the other colleagues. Arun Bele.
Thank you, Chair. My first question is a follow-up from, I think it came from Dr. Reddy, about the 120 personnel who make up the firearms and the narcotics units. If I can ask them with the way to get the responses, just to indulge me and give me that breakdown again. I didn't get all of it. I just got 10 brigadiers, I think it was 10 lieutenant generals and middle management. But I didn't get the rest of the breakdown. If you could please read that out for me again to capture. But then related to that figure, I just wanted to ask from the general, so off the, I think it was 155 posts that have been filled so far, it was 155 filled, 70 currently advertised, and 80 remaining to be advertised. Of those three phases, so the ones already filled, the ones currently in the pipeline, and the ones that are about to start being advertised to be filled by the end of the financial year, how much of that impacts on the filling of the 120 personnel? I just want to get a picture of what percentage of that 120 personnel do we have in place right now and working on the narcotics and the firearms offense related issues. So just basically what the capacity is. And then it was just a small, it was just a question please for a bit more detail and understanding on the construction of the landing space in the budget for 1 million. I'm trying to locate the the function of the landing space, given that I assume the helicopter is quite mobile, it could have to go around to different places. So where would the types of the landing space be intended to be? And is that really necessary? I mean, a helicopter, to my understanding, can land on most terrain. So I'm just trying to understand where that would come into play. And then just a small question I had, because it occurred to me on slide 16, the second case about the loans given from clients means to be invested in the forex market. I was just trying to understand what the nature of your faith in that case was, because it didn't seem to be spelled out too clearly. And am I correct in reading that as being a case of money laundering, or was it a different case that was being pursued there? Thank you.
Yes, I see a number of banks. First, Honorable Groenewald, then Honorable Malabati, and Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first follow-up question is on the political keys you've touched on. I'd like to know from the General, how do they define these sort of crimes? Because there is a misunderstanding or a debate in public. Do we talk about political motivated killings? What is your experience from the Hawks? Are these killings politically motivated? Because, I mean, if a politician has been killed, then everybody says it's political killing. How do the General and his team define these political killings, and I specifically on the motive? My second follow-up, Chairperson, is on the firearms. You mentioned 497 firearms and 94 rifles. What rifles are we talking about here? Are they AK-47s, R4s, R5s? And what will the General say is the main source of these illegal firearms? How they get in circulation?
Thank you. Honorable Malabati.
Thank you, Secretary. My question is on slide number 12, where you speak of farm murder. Which murder, farm murder, do you investigate, and which ones are investigated by staff? Where do you draw the line?
You're welcome.
My second one is on the confiscated firearms. They are piling up somewhere. And then what happens to them? I know, for instance, in subs, there's a day for destruction. But what happens in your case? They pile up and pile up. What happens? Thank you.
On the Mulan, then the last one, the 40, is on the Mulan.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is when you said information was received that the consignment of counterfeit goods was reported to Southeast South Africa. I want to know, because you said a search warrant was obtained and a search and seizure was committed. I want to know how many people were arrested here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Songu.
No, thank you, sir. No, manager, this is not a question, but it is a plea to say, with regard to the taking of these matters, because it would be quite, I think it would be a relegation of our responsibility as a committee to begin to say political matters maybe are given some kind of priority. Because as you would know, as a person, for example, I know that the MEC, Flinders MEC in KZN, Mr. Nsun, used to say the Clifton matters were not political matters, when in fact they were. But because he was in charge of policing at that time. And these things went on and on and on and on up until they gravitated to a situation which it is right now in KZN. as also what is happening in Italy. Now, I think maybe let us just plan this. When all divisions of staffs are there, then we deal with these things correctly, and the scientific part also, that also calls on us at the leadership level to say, where are we actually then also opening up these kind of things? Because I can see there is a lot of things that is happening here. Otherwise, we might actually be gravitating towards a situation to say, only political crimes need to be taken up by hawks. They're leaving the whole range of gruesome matters that are taking place out there, which in one way or the other have got their own narrow politics as well, which definitely needs to be dealt with. But I think when in the presence of all divisions of such, so that then we can then be well praised to say, appraised to say, how do we deal with this particular thing that the people in this country resort to violence to solve whatever issues of difference.
Thank you, honourable members. We'll take a 7-minute tea comfort break and then we'll come back for the responses. Thank you.